Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the human and divine, risen Christ. Amen. In our last summer preaching series for this year, we are taking three Sundays to delve into the truth brought to us in the creeds, particularly the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed has three parts: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is our enormous task today to unpack the second part of that creed, the part about Jesus Christ, the absolute pinnacle and foundation of our faith. Without trying to devalue in any way the other two persons of the Trinity, Father and Holy Spirit, it is clear that what brings you today to this pew is our subject matter for today. What differentiates our faith from every other faith is Jesus Christ, period. We would not be who we are without the Father and the Holy Spirit, to be sure, but most of what we do focuses on Jesus Christ. First and foremost, we have a God who has chosen to become human and live among us. There is no other major religion in the world in which God has chosen to come down and be like us, to be human, ostensibly to suffer the same indignities that we have suffered, to be teased as a child, to fall and skin a knee, hurt a knee, to be betrayed by friends. In Jesus' case, to be tortured and then to die a criminal's death on the cross, chest heaving more laboriously with each breath, finally the chest no longer able to lift and life extinguished. God did all this as a human so that we might be assured there is nothing on this earth we can experience that God has not already experienced. God becoming flesh is called incarnation. Fancy word. We talk about that incarnation in the Apostles' Creed in a very short way. We simply say Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, a human mother. In the Nicene Creed, we explicate that just a little bit further, and we say he became incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. This Jesus becoming man makes all the difference. Jesus is one who chose to be among us. Now, this Jesus could have chosen to be like other gods, away and afar off from us. Instead, Jesus chose to live as a human being. What difference does that make? It was a Christmas Eve like most other Christmas Eves, individuals and families filling this place, bustling into worship. After one of those very busy worship services, a three-year-old girl comes to me and says, Pastor Wall, I have a new baby brother. I said, I know. What do you think of that new baby brother? She had to think for just a minute, and then she said, he cries. But she really had an agenda behind that. She said, he cries. But Pastor Wall, did you know that Jesus was a baby too? And then she thought, do you think Jesus cried? Do you think Jesus is like my baby brother? Now I realize that's a three-year-old putting two and two together and arriving at 14. But maybe we should all arrive at 14. Did Jesus really cry? Are our sisters and brothers like Jesus? Is Jesus like our sisters and brothers? Jesus is truly human, like a little baby brother. But being just human is not enough. There are plenty of humans in this large room this morning, and no one is going to be talking about any of us 2,000 years from now like we are talking about Jesus 2,000 years after he walked this earth. No, to be sure, the reason that makes Jesus' humanity special is because Jesus was also truly God. We confess that in our creeds, that Jesus was born of a virgin, truly a human being, 100%. But then Jesus was also raised up into divinity, 100% divine. Now, if that math works for you, you are odd. That math is not supposed to work. It is a matter of faith. In Romans, we read it in this way. We were baptized into the death, that is, the humanity of Christ, so that we might rise into a resurrection like Jesus, that is, his divinity. That faith has fueled the Christian church for 2,000 years. That faith makes all the difference. It has made a difference for celebrities and athletes and more common people, maybe like many of us. It makes a difference to people who are poor or rich, the immigrant or the refugee. It makes a difference to a little girl who's trying to figure out who Jesus is. Now, there are some people who are so successful in life, you would think that they don't need Jesus or faith that would help carry them through life. Nearly all of you know of my affliction with the Minnesota Vikings. I desperately hope that Kirk Cousins has a great year, yesterday notwithstanding. But that has very little to do with wins and losses. I'm hoping that Cousins has a great year so that his voice for Christ might be more widely known. Not everything has gone well for Cousins in his life. He's been a backup quarterback at every level. Backup in high school. Backup in college. Backup in the NFL. He's had to fight through injuries. Despite whether he has been up or down, his faith has never wavered in Christ. He considers himself a leader. But get this. His leadership is not necessarily football leadership. He thinks his best leadership is influencing his teammates for Christ. And he says that's not going to change. Cousin says football is important to me, but he realizes it is only a game. He says football does not determine who he is. Football does not determine his worth. That worth has already been determined in Jesus Christ. And again, he says, that is not going to change. Cousin says he's gotten to where he is in life because of his faith in Jesus. Maybe not as an NFL quarterback, but the place where he lives as a person. At the football camps he has for youth every summer, he uses Bible verses to encourage those youth. That sounds a lot to me. Like Martin Luther's explanation to the second article. Martin Luther writes, "All this Christ has done so that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally." Now that makes a difference in our lives every day, whether we acknowledge that or do not acknowledge it. It makes a difference to the person who lies in a hospital bed, knowing that the upcoming surgery or the upcoming treatment does not define who they are. They have already been defined by the love of Jesus Christ. That makes a difference to the person who has just lost a family member, knowing that they have the confidence of living eternally with those whom they love and with Jesus Christ in faith. It makes a difference to a little girl who is trying to figure out who Jesus is. This summer, I've had so many opportunities to say bedtime prayers with grandchildren. When I retire somewhat later, I don't repeat those bedtime prayers for myself, including the Lord's Prayer. Instead, I have happened this summer onto a different kind of prayer, at least for me. It is a one-word prayer, a prayer that I allow to rattle around in my spirit and in my heart for a few minutes. As I lie back, that one word, Jesus.